Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to We Are Listening. My name is SK Shlomo, and I'm here with my friend, Mr. Jason Mraz. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good. How are you, SK Shlomo?
I'm all right, man. I'm very excited about this. So, hi, guys. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming. This is episode one of We Are Listening, and this is going to be a weekly Real Talk live stream where I'm going to be joined by a different guest every week, and we are going to talk about creativity, mental health, and kind of surviving the world that we live in this day and age. And I'm really excited to have Jason here with me today. We're going to be able to have an opportunity to hang out. We can talk. We can talk about healing. We can talk about emotions. We can talk about music. And we can tell our stories. And stories is really what this is all about. We want you guys to be part of this. We want you guys to tell us your stories. So please get involved. You can type the comments below. You can use the hashtag We Are Listening. We're live on Instagram Live right now at SK Shlomo. We're live on Facebook on SK Shlomo page and on Jason's page. So there's no excuse for not getting involved. We want to take your questions. We want to interact with you and hear your stories. So yeah, comments, hashtags, and shares. And like I say, this is going to be happening weekly, every Thursday from now until September. And at the end of today's show, I'm really excited to be announcing who next week's special guest is going to be. And just before we kind of get into it, I just would love to explain to you why I'm launching this. So this happened because nearly 2 weeks ago, I launched my first ever album crowdfunding campaign. And it was the first time I'd opened up about my own struggles with depression and dealing with trauma. And the reaction to it has been absolutely incredible. The number of people who've come forward who wanted to talk to me about mental health and share their own stories, it's just been overwhelming. It's been really, really stunning. And so I thought, you know what? Why don't we create a kind of platform? Why don't we create a big, big, big share where we can all just spread some love and support each other and help each other through what can be a really challenging thing, just getting through the days of this life. So I thought, you know what? I know some people who I'd love to talk to about. So the first person I called was Jason, and he said, you know what, I'm in London in a few days, let's do it. Like, when we sorted this out like a couple of days ago, and that's what I love about the internet, is that we can make this happen anytime we like. And I feel like we can create a kind of community here. We can all talk and share and get stuff off of our chests and out of our heads and into the community so that it has less of a power over us and we can become empowered. So it's very exciting. So I feel like that's kind of my little introduction, and if you want to get involved, please do. You can kind of subscribe on skshlomo.com to the newsletter, and every week I'll be emailing out updates and telling you who is going to be the guest every week. It's going to be super exciting indeed. But I think it's time we got to the meat of this, which is hanging out with this incredible creative human being over here. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Jason Mraz.
All right.
How are you, boss? Are you okay?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm really, really grateful
good.
That you would come and be part of this today.
Yeah, it just feels really meaningful. And I'm in a period right now where I'm promoting a new album, and I'm putting myself out there, which we've talked about a little bit off camera, which as an artist, you put yourself out there in hopes to, you know, inspire people, but you also become subject to review and criticism and scrutiny. And so the promotional period is always very, very challenging. So when I got this invitation to do this, I felt like, yes, my whole point is to try to use media for good and have a positive impact with my art form. And this definitely fits in, because here we're not trying to sell anything other than sanity, you know? And does that even exist? You know, maybe we're just trying to offer relatability or brotherhood, or that we're all in this together, you know. Because we're going to be talking about the topic of mental health, one of the things I've been saying a lot recently is the irony of loneliness is that we all feel it at the same time. And that's a poem by Rupi Kaur. And
I hear that.
And I love that. Not that loneliness equals, you know, suffering, but it's one form, you know, one of the many things in life that we're going to be dealt with.
That's so interesting. Like, loneliness, I don't know, I've been on a bit of a journey these last few months, like in terms of learning about ways that you can deal with the negativity that is inevitable if you're going to kind of put yourself out there. Like, you are going to get negative thoughts, you are going to get negative feedback, you are going to get negative emotions. And like, I think what was holding me up was feeling like negative emotions are bad. You're like, I can't deal with them, I don't want them. And then your immediate goal is to just get rid of them as soon as possible,
right?
Using whatever means you can find, whether that's like the internet or some kind of other kind of validation,
right?
And that loneliness is a real trigger, I think, for a lot of people.
It can be a trigger, exactly.
And then and then part of one of the things I've learned from, like, you know, reading lots and lots of reading is this idea, right? Loneliness is something that is like afflicted on you, right? Whereas solitude, that's something that you can choose.
Sure.
And I kind of, when I read that, like, it was like a switch. I just thought, I've just realized that I have been hating my own company. I couldn't bear to be alone at any moment. So that's when you put yourself at risk, because you're like, I need something else to make me feel good.
Yeah. Right?
And that can be really dangerous. That's when mental health problems can really settle in.
Sure.
But if you switch it, right, if you're like, I've got an hour to myself.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm a good enough person to hang out with for an hour.
Like, right.
What can you achieve? What can you do? Like,
right.
You can have a nap.
Right.
Or you can write a song. You can listen to a tune. There's so many things, beautiful things you can do by yourself.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to be lonely.
Absolutely. And a great way that you set that up for yourself was through language.
Uh-huh.
You said, you know, you go from isolation to solitude, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, loneliness and solitude,
Solitude. Mm-hmm. And then you said, to me, that makes me go, well, either I have to spend an hour alone or I get to spend an hour alone.
That's it.
And it's the language that we start to tell ourselves that I think can empower us and help us reprogram our mind so that we don't suffer by negative thoughts, but we are enhanced by them, or at least maybe even we're guided by them.
Yeah.
When you said trigger a second ago, that reminded me that in my own self work, I felt that there was something that happened around anywhere from 4 to 7 years old, probably during the time my parents were divorcing and they were having their problems in the house. As pretty much you come online at that age, between 4 and 8 years old, you start to see life for what it might be.
Yeah, right.
We build up these strong suits and we build up this force field to protect ourselves so that we can avoid pain and avoid suffering. And what can we do to avoid that? Do I have to make my parents happy so that they don't yell at me? Do I have to can I eat this so that I don't have this sort of pain? Can I numb this pain this way? Can I just avoid this person or this conflict altogether? And then our life gets shaped by that. And then in our adult life, some of those moves can trigger us to those original traumatizing events that happened when we were younger.
So right.
I have a friend who's in his 60s now who occasionally gets stress, and I know it's not fair to talk about somebody else in this podcast who's not here, but I'm just going to say friend that I've worked with for a long time, who would occasionally suffer from the experience of the abuse that his parents gave him. And, you know, his mother has been passed away now for at least 3 decades, and he still feels the pain of her torture, basically. So he still carries that with him even in his adult life. So we've worked a lot in remembering that that's not happening anymore, you know, but something in the brain is still reminding him of that and making him feel unloved.
That's it, man. So, I mean, I recently found out I've been struggling with that too. PTSD was the word that I was told, and the more I hear stories like the one you just told, the more I see it's around us. Like, trauma is kind of part of living. Like, pain is kind of goes along with love, like it goes along with anything. Unless you're going to live your life looking down the whole time, you are going to experience pain, and you are going to experience trauma. And what becomes unhealthy is when you have what I would describe your friend having as a flashback, right? So you feel like you're there. And at first I was a bit like, I can't have PTSD. That's like some wartime kind of thing, right? I've not witnessed any bombs going off, or, you know, I wasn't physically abused, or I wasn't this, I wasn't that. And kind of just accepting that it's okay not to be okay was absolutely huge for me. Like, you know, not that long ago, I wasn't sure if I actually wanted to carry on. And I was lucky. I feel like I'm one of the lucky ones because I had so much beauty in my life and so many ways, so much support around me that I could hang on and then get help. And then here I am now, able to kind of talk to someone like you who I trust, and then hopefully be able to, you know, do that more. And I feel like, honestly, I made a video saying this about how I didn't, you know, how close I got to not wanting to live my life for this pledge campaign, and I can't tell you how intense the reaction has been. So I launched at a show, so we played the video at a show, and then afterwards there was a queue of people, and they all wanted to share about their own journeys, which was completely overwhelming. Like, it was beautiful, but also I was a bit like, ah, like they wanted to tell me some quite scary, traumatic but I was, once I'd got over that initial shock, I was like, this is incredible, like, because I feel like I know these people, like,
right.
I connect with them, you know what I mean? We can have a mask on all the time if we're not careful.
Yeah. And it's almost too, like, when we finally find someone we can share it with, or a community we can share it with, the pain becomes less of our own burden. We also know that, oh, they're suffering too. The pain almost becomes transformed into communion with a larger energy. But just the ability to share it with people, it gets it out of your chest. Gets it out of your throat, gets it out of your thoughts, and it allows the pain to start healing itself.
So do you think, like, so what I'd really love to do with this conversation is kind of get an insight into someone who is as creative as you, who's harnessed your abilities and your talents to tell stories that really connect around the world, right? And I just want to ask you, like, how music and harnessing creativity has helped you. Like, I'm guessing you've been doing it since you were small.
Doing it since I was small. It was a gift that I realized I was given at a young age, the ability to sing. And in middle school and high school, I realized I could invent songs as well, just kind of make things up, sing a joke, sing an idea. And by the time I got to college, I realized it was kind of a magic trick. It was a bit of a parlor trick where I could entertain people with this ability to freestyle a song, make it sound pretty. And I grew up in a working class family, so I knew that, and I didn't have the grades to get into good colleges, so I knew that I was either going to work in construction, work in the service industry, something like that, or I could follow my musical gift and see if I can't find a gig there. I mean, for me, I thought, even if I could just get a coffee shop or a bar or a small theater or a cruise ship, I'll at least be living inside my joy. And my joy is this creative magic trick that I get to do. And when I'm creating it, it's almost like it's out of body. I step aside and allow the radio to pass through, or the transmission to pass through my vehicle radio.
That's nice, isn't it?
And the deeper I went with it, and then at first it was like, wow, look what I can do, and look at all the crazy things I can say. And then after a while, and I started to pay attention to who that audience was and how they were reacting, and and also the power that I had now as a entertainer with an audience, that my formula began to shift. It was like, okay, well, what can I listen to, and what wisdom is there to be gained that I could weave into this music? What medicine is there that I could weave into this music? And it's not that I was trying to solve a problem out there, it's that I was realizing that the music was helping me solve things inside of me. Like coming to terms with my parents' divorce,
sure.
which took me till my 30s to understand.
Sure. Yeah.
It took me till I was their age when they divorced to really get what they went through. And I could write a song about it. And I could also talk to them about it. And sing that song about it, which then connects to other people who are dealing either with divorce or are divorced parents, learning how to communicate with their kids about it. Or a song like the first song that I had a breakthrough on was a song called The Remedy, and it was written about my best friend Charlie's cancer treatment. He was 21, I was 21. I'm making my first record. He's in chemotherapy.
Oh my gosh.
How did we get these lives? We grew up in the same town, drank the same water. Why such different circumstances? And his mantra through the thing was, I'm not going to worry my life away. I'm going to do what the doctors tell me. I'm going to keep living my life. And his attitude really affected our whole community. And I ended up writing about it, and his story is what the verses are about. And his mantra, I won't worry my life away, is the chorus. And it became a song. It actually became a single. And as I noticed it connecting across the country in the U.S., it was connecting a lot with cancer survivors and people going through that struggle. And I realized, oh, wow, my magic trick can actually tap into deeper subjects. So I was in my mid-20s when I started to have that awareness. My earlier songs also, you know, trying to meet girls. I'm going to admit that, you know. But eventually you meet the girl and you don't need to write those songs anymore. And even the ego of like, I want to get all my bills paid, even that works after a while. So I had gotten to a point where after my biggest song and album, the I'm Yours era, which was 2008, 2009, my album We Sing, We Dance, We Steal Things, it did very well around the world. And yet I'd still experience loneliness, self-worth issues. Am I really good enough? Is this just a machine hyping me, or does my voice and my talent really matter? You know, these just random things that show up in your brain. And I still couldn't find like a solid long-term girlfriend. You know, I was still either cheating, or I was just not satisfied, or I still didn't fully love myself, so that I didn't know how to fully dive into a relationship. And I began to just, I went through a 2 or 3 month period of really feeling awful, sleeping on the floor and crying a lot and trying to self-medicate with herbs and self-pleasure and hiding from it. And what ended up getting me through it was music. I'd pick up my instrument and just chant. I'd even just make sounds and remember that something out there bigger than me wants to use me as an instrument. This has nothing to do with my story. It has to do with, like, I don't know. It's the Native Americans call it the great unknown, because it's too great and too unknown to be defined. So I just surrender myself to the great unknown, and I cry and I wail on the guitar and I see what wants to come out. And I wrote a song called I Won't Give Up, which was happening during this season of sadness where I had my whole life, all my dreams came true, and yet I was still suffering inside. And part of my brain knows its power that, oh, I could just end this and turn this off. Another part of my brain says, why would you do that? Why don't you just grow your hair out long, ride motorcycles, surf bigger waves, and live dangerously? I mean, one option is you could take your own life, or you could live a really rad life, and if you die in that process, at least you did some cool stuff.
Yeah.
So I chose that option. And it was still a bit sabotaging to my career, and it didn't make my career easier because my hair became more popular than I did, and the interviews were less about the music and more about what's going on with him. And that became very frustrating.
Sure.
But music was my safe place. I could always go back to it. And arts gave me a portal back into spirituality, gave me a portal just into sharing and conscious breathing, which I have discovered even later. This is my most recent breakthrough in art, in music especially, is that when I sing a song, it gives me an opportunity to breathe consciously. Whereas the rest of my day, I may not be conscious of it. Even in a season, or even in right now, where I'm sharing information, it's a lot of exhaling and maybe short, shallow inhales. And I'm not giving myself a chance to fully fill up. And when you fill up, you are gifting yourself life.
Love that.
Because
Love it.
without breath, we cease to exist. We cease to exist. So I found that shortness of breath leads to anxiety. If we're always giving, and we forget to take a moment to ourselves to inhale, then it will feel like we are suffocating and that we are dying because we're not giving ourselves deep enough breaths. And it works the other way. If we're not communicating, if we're keeping everything inside, then we're not allowing ourselves to release everything we're holding on to, and it can become equally stressful. Singing songs, which I believe is why they do it in ancient tribes, in every tradition, mantras, hymns, prayers, even prayers are designed to give us these long, beautiful
So
exhales.
true. Yeah.
And then silent, quiet meditation, which gives us a chance to just stop talking, stop thinking, and breathe. Even the classic Om and the Amen are very similar, with
True.
Om, which is a it's a controlled exhale. So music is our modern form of that, even though we've turned it into a consumerist, capitalistic product. At its core is our bird song, is our very spiritual, valuable thing that humans can do. And music has given me an opportunity to, when I sing a song, I know where that lyric is, and then I have written into that song where I'm going to inhale. So the rest of my day, I might not know how many breaths I took, but at least in that song, I know I have to be present. I have to be in the moment to know when I'm going to breathe and when I'm going to exhale, when I'm going to breathe, in order for that song to actually be performed perfectly. I do this with the audience by asking the audience to take, let's all take a deep breath together yesterday. We can't do that. Well, let's take a deep breath together tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Well, we can't. So let's remember that impossibility when we find our mind worried about something that hasn't happened yet in the future, or swimming in some regret of the past. All we have to do is take a deep breath, and we return to now real fast. And now, in this moment at least, we're on a comfy couch.
Yeah.
I might be perspiring a little bit. That might be causing you to suffer in some way. But my point is, at this moment in the now, we're safe. The future is not written yet. Anything is possible. And it gives us the ability to reset and clear ourselves. And honestly, there's nowhere to get. There really is no future to get, because when we get there, it's going to be this moment. So there's always a somewhere to get, but it's unattainable. So I started to think this way over the last few years, but actually probably the most 10 years, as I tried to understand my power in music and how my power in music can help me heal and communicate through breakups, communicate with my own self-worth issues. I've written songs like Living in the Moment, how to basically stay in the moment, which is like the breath work I just shared. And that song says, if this life is one act, why do we lay all these traps? If this life is one act, we put ourselves in this. I don't even remember what the lyrics are. I gotta look them up because it's hard to speak them and not say them.
Yeah.
But this
sing
is.
It. Why do you sing it?
If this life is one act, why do we lay all these traps? We put them right in our path mm-hmm. when we just want to be free. So we put our own binds and stresses on ourselves. We carry around all of this weight from
baggage.
The path,
yeah.
from the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when some of our best friends are like, hey man, why are you carrying around that 50-pound weight? And you're like, what are you talking about? No, this is just who I am.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I mean, you're carrying you're yeah. a little over the top with that carrying it around. So, but some of us maybe carry it around so that we can be acknowledged for it and show people that I do still suffer, so it helps. So there's no right or wrong way to do it, but I do try to teach myself ways of always coming back to a clear and present now.
Mm-hmm.
And if it works for me, if I find things that really work for me, I do my best to weave them in a song, because for me, that is my art practice, where I get to see it on the page. And if I can turn that teaching into a puzzle or a riddle or a poem, yeah, then I know it works, you know? And then if I can even match it to a rhythm and a melody, and it's fun to sing on stage, and it maybe even gets a laugh out of people, or it unites people, even better. So there's definitely a process to it. But I've got many, many songs in my catalog that do that, that always go back to that. A song like 93 Million Miles is one of my favorite songs that's in the show every night. That is an acknowledgement to the support my parents gave me to go for my dream, and how they told me in their way that, you know, there will always be suffering, but if you follow your joy, you will, I guess it's their way of saying, this can help you avoid some pain along the way. Is listen to your gifts, listen to your heart, and pursue that path. It's never going to be easy, because the darkness actually helps shine the light on that
mm-hmm.
brightness.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes our darkness or our obstacle can become our purpose. Once we see the things that we're learning how to overcome, then we weave them into our light.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of information from yoga.
Uh-huh.
That's a great
yes.
practice. That's a practice of showing up somewhere for 25 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes. And that is another practice where you get to consciously breathe. That's the only goal for that practice. Yeah, they're going to ask you to touch your toes and bend this way and bend that way, but all of that's pretty much a placebo compared to the breathing.
Uh-huh.
Because where it gets uncomfortable, they say, no, just return
breathe.
To your breath.
Yeah.
Your brain is going to tell you, this is awkward.
Mm-hmm.
I look terrible in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do what everyone else does. It's not about everyone else. This is about you and your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And yoga is a great training tool. Yoga is where you get to be your own Zen master up against yourself as student. It's a very, very cool practice that is always challenging.
It's, so I've started doing yoga, I guess I'm about 2.5 months into doing it every day, and it's totally transformed
yes.
me, like from the inside out. And I never really got it. I was like, yeah, cool, yoga, but like just playing around with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Just waking up in the morning, I've got two little boys, get them their breakfast, and then there's an amazing YouTuber called her channel's called Yoga with Adrienne. She's like the most successful yoga YouTuber there is, and she's got these like 30-day journeys, so you get like a new lesson every day. And honestly, so the kids are like climbing on me and I'm like trying to do these poses.
Nice.
But like you say, it's not actually about the pose. It's about like
you're showing up.
Yes.
Right? And that is huge. Showing up and being you.
Yeah.
Being there for you and being present, being like you said with the breathing, and you also get to look awesome because you're like turning
yeah.
your body up and like
yeah.
that's
a side effect. Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like even sitting here listening to you talk, so to hear you share like a really honest story there, like even listening to that, right, I had this voice in my head being like, oh, why didn't you do this? Why haven't you been doing this 10 years? You know what I mean? Like, I get this criticism, like, why are you only finding out about this now? You're useless. And it's like, come on.
So isn't that interesting? Like, where does that voice come from? And does that start at 5 years old, 6 years old? Is it a distant relative of ours that planted it? Is it kids on the playground that did something to us at a certain age that kicks on that ego of doubt or whatever it is, that voice? I read a great book called The Untethered Soul,
mm-hmm.
by Michael Singer, and he talks about these voices in his head. He's like, okay, well, which one am I? You know, am I the one that says, oh, you should have been doing this years ago? Or am I the voice that's like, no, man, cool it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You're in the right place.
Where am I?
Like, well,
where do I sit in this?
Which
mix?
One am I? And he realized, wait, I'm neither of those, because I can hear both conversations. And if there were a third or a fourth, I wouldn't be that one either. I'm none of those.
Mm.
He's like, who we are, we're actually sitting deeper into what he calls the seat of the soul.
Mm.
He says, that's the place to get. That's where you can safely observe the conversations, but eventually they get drowned out or they tune out because they realize no one's really listening,
mm-hmm.
which is helpful.
Mm.
So it's when we identify with that doubt and we assign it meaning,
mm-hmm.
that shit gets real bad.
Well, then you become like, I could identify with that horrible critical voice.
Yes.
And I can then become that person and act like that person.
Exactly.
And project that out into the world.
Exactly.
And that's very painful.
It's very painful
for other people too, like.
Yeah. And then it starts to, like, it creates a feedback loop, because then you see the reaction it's causing in the world, and then it only adds more self-doubt,
mm-hmm.
and self-deprecation, and then it causes more defensive communication.
Yeah.
I say this because this happened to me about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was, I love using media for positive. I just love positive use of media, and I have a hard enough time putting myself out there as it is, and feeling fully confident that what I'm doing is meaningful. Especially, and I say that because I know somewhere it's being scrutinized, even if it's just in my own head. Like, who do you think you are, doing a young man's game? I'm 41 now, feeling like I'm still doing a 25-year-old's job, right?
Okay.
So anyway, since my career began, everything has switched to video.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to go to radio stations and newspapers, it was just a radio station or it was just a newspaper. But now everybody has a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has video they want to shoot. So I show up at this newspaper and they have 6 cameras on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not feeling great.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't usually dress camera ready. I'm old school. I think about the stage and an audience. I don't think about a newspaper as being an audience or even live stream cameras. Plus, I'd rather just be authentic. But at the same time, I realize I'm in a show business world,
mm-hmm.
where people are styled and groomed and they wear makeup and they're sponsored by clothing brands. I have none of that stuff going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I dress in comfy leisure wear that I can always lounge in and sleep in.
Whip out a yoga pose.
In fact, I did sleep in this last night. Whip out a yoga pose. Exactly. These are like yoga pants. So anyway, it's easy for me to start on myself about self-worth. I had a cold sore, so I'm really feeling terrible. I have 6 cameras pointed at my face.
Uh-huh.
And I did my little song, and I kept my head down. And afterwards, they said, can we do it one more time? We'd like to get a few angles, a few different angles.
I know this one, yeah.
You know this one? Did it already air?
No, I know this feeling.
Oh,
when
you know,
like,
the feeling.
Just,
oh, thank
done,
God.
You made it through the performance, and then you
and then
it
they
again
said, can we do it again? We'd like
angles.
To get some more angles. And I kid you not, there were 6 cameras in a semicircle around me, and one of them was on a robot, always moving. And I lost it, and I said, you have 6
angles.
Cameras on me. I dropped the F-bomb. But I immediately knew that my own discomfort that I was telling myself had now accidentally expressed itself verbally onto all these good people who were just trying to do their jobs.
Yeah.
And then it just got tense. And they were like, okay, I think we're done. And not great for my publicist who probably set all that up, who's trying to get good publicity and not bad. And now this radio station or this newspaper probably thinks I'm a diva. But anyway, it creates a feedback loop of potential negativity, you know. So I'm constantly trying, having to overcome that in the music industry.
Yeah.
Putting myself out there, my manager used to tell me, hey, we're striving for excellence, not perfection.
Nice.
You know, none of us are perfect, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Especially nowadays that we're being filmed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or as artists, we're just asking to put content out more and more and more and more. All that content's not going to be perfect every time. And if you want it to be perfect every time, you're going to have to invest extra time lighting it and writing it and practicing it, right?
Polishing it.
Mm-hmm. So, luckily, the art is the reward. The being able to pick up an instrument, close my eyes and sing, and feel like, wow, magic is happening. Like, my body is vibrating. I'm breathing consciously. I'm singing words that I need to hear myself say about love and peace, and I'm presencing that love and peace in my room right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is powerful. And then I go from I have nothing to I am a powerful creator. I am sitting in the middle of this God experience creating sound and vibration. And that's where I think the arts are really a powerful therapeutic tool. Is you go from this possible voice in your head saying, who are you? You've got nothing. Why should we even do this? To showing up, like we do it on the yoga mat, or showing up at your instrument or your piano, your guitar, and putting your energy into that, and you get an amazing return. You get rewarded for that. You get rewarded with new life and new action and a new result that now you can be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And you can almost tell that voice to piss off because you've just proven that you can create anything.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. This is really good stuff. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, if you've just joined us, you are watching episode one of We Are Listening.
We Are Listening.
A new Real Talk weekly live stream with myself, SK Shlomo, and I'm joined here with the beautiful soul that we
thanks.
Call Jason Mraz. And he's just dropping so many truth bombs. It's really great to hear. Like, I feel like sometimes you're creating this stuff, right? You're healing through your music, and you're putting it out there. And then, for me, the hardest part is something which I know you cracked a long time ago, is letting it out there, letting it go. So I've been a professional artist for, like, not as long as you, but for me it's been a long time, like 13, 14 years since I left my last real job. But I've not released a single record, right? Never done it.
Wow.
I've always been a performer.
A live artist.
I'm a beatboxer, I'm a live looper, I create orchestras of the voice, or I'm happy to write other people's songs, you know, songs for other people to perform. But if I'm going to write it and sing it and release it, I will have an actual anxiety breakdown. Won't be able to do it. And I wanted to ask you about that, like, because I know a lot of people I speak to have this feeling like they have almost like an unlived life, right? They have something inside of them, it's so pure, it's so real, it's so special, but the fear and the resistance of letting other people have it is so overwhelming that they don't manage.
Right.
So I feel like maybe the one option is you don't put all of yourself into it, right? You do have to wear some kind of mask. Or maybe there's another way. Maybe through gradually doing it, it becomes easier. Like, how was it for you? Like, it sounds like you found it quite early on in terms of creating a recording and sharing that. Whereas, like, other people often say to me, like, I'm happy to release music, but how the hell are you getting up on stage and performing it so freely? Like, it's different.
That's
demons.
Right. Gosh. I've had I've definitely been nervous about things coming out, but I think that was always in my my performing began early in life. I was chorus, drama, on stage, loved the audience. And also able to record in my bedroom, little tapes. And I actually liked that I could pass a tape along to somebody and they could pass the tape along. I liked not knowing where it would end up, almost like casting a bottle out to sea.
That's nice.
You know, and I don't know where that came from, you know, but maybe it's like going through my dad's records and listening to Jim Croce, who's been dead for years, but it's my dad's favorite songwriter. When I listen to his stories, I can go, wow, Jim's music is here, and I get to listen to it in this life. Maybe one day I'll make music that people will listen to long after I'm gone. What will that be like? So I was always more interested in that legacy part of it. But the immediate response is very nerve-wracking for me. You know, when I first made my first record and it had a huge pop sound, it was not like anything I thought I would ever make.
Right.
And I was like, oh no, I didn't think I was going to become this kind of artist.
So you're judging it already?
I was. And I played it for my friends and they're like, whoa, this is different. And I thought, oh no, this is tough. But I was too stupid to know any better, luckily. And I just let it go. And the few times I tried to like sabotage the ship or change direction, I realized, no, I think this really works for me, actually. This is, I can do this. It's not been easy. It's not been easy, but following that sound and doing what I've been doing, has worked. I've made it work for me. So I don't feel like I'm a good answer to the question you asked. But I think just great art is never finished. It's only abandoned. I think
that's a Picasso quote.
Is it Picasso? And I love that because I can find something wrong with every album I've put out. Even the one that's coming out on August 10th.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
Yeah, make sure you get this guy.
There's a few spots on there where I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I allowed that to happen or didn't fix that or didn't write that or I played it that way.
But you could go on forever.
You could go on forever.
Basically what's happened to me.
Like. So at some point, you have to go, this is it. And there actually comes a lot of freedom in it. Because you finally are just like, this is what I sounded like at this age. This is what it sounded like this summer. And now I have all the freedom to move forward and make the next project.
That sounds nice.
So that's all I can leave you with on that question.
Well, I'm joining you on August the 10th. I'm also releasing. It's my
love
first
that.
Ever release. It's the first single from my first album. So I'll give you a call on the day, and we can see how we both feel. We can see, like I love what you said there about how this is what you sounded like at that age, like because it's a record, literally.
It's
That's
a recording,
means.
Yes.
It's a record. Like if you found your journal that you wrote 10 years ago, right? You'd have a mixture of cringe and probably nostalgia, and probably you'd hopefully be able to love that dude that you were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that is absolutely, for me, that's absolutely key. Is like, so here on my iPad, I've got this me. I'm gonna share it. That's me.
Oh, right.
That's me when I was 4 years old, and like, I put that guy there. And at first, I was like, oh god, people will think I'm an idiot if I carry around a picture of me. But actually, you know what? That's a record of me that I can hold dear and connect with, and maybe if I can achieve that with my songs, I can be like you. I can be free.
Yeah.
Guys, I really feel like we want this to be a conversation, and we want
to yeah how do we
you
get
so
the
technology appears to be failing me right now. I don't have your guys' comments up on my iPad, which is what I was hoping for. But producer Michelle, are you seeing any comments that look interesting? That
yeah,
we can
I have a bunch.
That's
here we
cool.
are. Okay. Great.
Look, you
news.
Guys are sharing so much with us. It's beautiful.
All right. Here
can
they
we
are.
See a question?
Here's all the hearts.
Oh, shit, the hearts are going. See, then you get a thing of like, oh, gosh,
okay,
these people are going to be my validators.
But I'm
Are
really
you getting something on your phone.
How do I do this? Comments.
Guys, if you have a question for me or Jason, please hit us up. Is there something that you think we should be answering on there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got, it's not really a question, it's a comment from Melissa Joyfully.
Melissa Joyfully, thank you for your comment.
And she says, a huge part of healing is letting go of memories. We get stuck replaying the history that is not happening right now. We put a lot of energy in these memories, pictures, we must learn how to let go of these photo albums. Hashtag love peace.
That's beautiful. I don't know if everyone could hear that, but that's a beautiful comment that you've put there, because you're talking about all of this. You're talking about being in the moment, so you're letting go of the past and you're not trying to rush into the future, but also kind of celebrating those photo albums, those stories, those previous yous, rather than hating on them, rather than bullying them and beating them up. Like, do you know what I mean? Do you think that makes sense?
Absolutely.
That's cool. Do we have any more?
I've got a comment from George Montague.
George Montague. Hi,
says,
George.
A record is a moment in time captured with all the emotion and love and creativity that you've poured into it. It is a beautiful thing.
Record is a beautiful thing. I totally agree. And I'm excited about doing it too. I'm excited about letting everybody hear my insights. Do you know what I mean?
I've got a question. Do you want a question?
Yeah, hit us up with a question.
So this is from Aaron Buckley. He says, what do you do when your art is one of the causes of your issues with self-worth?
Aaron Buckley says, what do you do if your art is one of the causes of your issues with self-worth? This is something I can really relate to. Do you want to have a go at that, Jason?
Yeah, go for it. Sorry, say that again. I was flagging a comment.
So what do you do if your art is one of the causes of your issues of self-worth? Like, I could talk to you about this for a little while.
If it's one of the causes. So, for example, if I were to, my art's music, if I were to make a song that was actually causing me to feel worse about myself?
Maybe. I think my interpretation of that is like, so for me, I had a lot of success when I was very young. I kind of had this real bubble around me around beatboxing. Beatboxing was new. And I found out very quickly I'd get this amazing reaction if I did it. But I then found this like drive and this inability to stop, where I felt like my self-worth was revolving around this external validation. If I can't get a bigger crowd than last night, if I can't get a bigger cheer, if I can't innovate further, then I'm not good enough. And you know, that got really bad. I kind of hated who I really was, and I felt like I'd created this fake person that everyone thought was amazing, and that if I ever stopped being amazing, then they'd see how terrible I really was and it would all end.
Right.
It was a cause of a lot of pain.
Right.
Have you never had that, where your success or your perceived success becomes your identity, and then you feel, but that isn't actually me?
Absolutely. I do a lot of big shows where I'm on bills with big, big names, and in the past, managers or agents, they'd say, oh, you guys should just get up there and jam. And that's actually not who I am. I'm not that gifted musically.
He says.
Well, no.
I remember when we jammed last time. You weren't exactly struggling.
I'm pretty sure I wasn't jamming. I don't know. What was I doing? What were we just singing? I was using my voice, though.
We did a whole show without any rehearsal.
Singing. Yeah. But...
Sorry to interrupt.
But I'm not going to jump up with some house band and just start jamming. That's just...
Okay,
I've done mostly my own original music the whole time. But anyway,
sure.
In those situations, I think, what am I doing here? And... yeah, I know that there's a fraud right under this hat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened many, many times.
Imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome.
Term?
No.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
though.
Right. It's I've read about it. It's a thing. It's a thing. And even world leaders get this from the humblest place to the most important place. People feel like they've tricked everyone.
Right.
You're a fraud.
Yeah.
And there's this thing called like idiot genius that I was reading about, where simultaneously you feel like you're a fucking genius.
Mm.
And you feel like you're a total idiot and you've tricked them all.
Wow.
It's horrible.
Yeah. No, I like that, though. I read that in a Stanley Kubrick interview once.
Mm.
How you doing, Stanley? His wife would ask. Still fooling him. And
nice.
I love that, because everyone perceives him as a film genius, and he felt like he was fooling everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that many times. And another area where my self-worth is often challenged is, when is enough enough? And I've had a lot of success, a lot of popularity, a lot of followers, a lot of likes, a lot of sales.
A lot of external validations, right?
A lot of validations. So what motivates me, and why am I still out here doing it? You know, like, in part of me, like, is it just... It largely has to do because I'm contractually obligated to at least be doing this one more time.
Uh-huh.
And...
Dude, I hear that, man. Like, even, like, me making that video that I talked about where I shared very, very intense emotions... Even when I was filming it, I had the voice in my head saying, oh, mate, why, you're clearly only, people are going to see you're only doing that so that they'll like you more, or that they'll buy your music, or, and it's like, just, you know what, sometimes I actually just let it come out. I just say, okay, come on then, horrible demon man, what have you got?
Mm.
Tell me why I'm terrible.
And wow.
And then after a while, that voice kind of runs out of steam.
I love it. It's like, to slay the dragon, you have to put your sword down and just give it a hug.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's going to be the quote of today's live stream.
That's funny.
What a beautiful opportunity this has been to share with such a wise and gifted man. Jason, I'm so grateful that you would share this time with us, man.
My pleasure.
If you have any more questions or thoughts or comments, we have one more here. Michelle's waving at me. What do we have?
I've got a couple from Jason's Facebook.
Great.
I've got Megan LaBoff. She says, I'd love to know what you do when you feel negative thoughts coming in. How do you identify them quickly enough to prevent them from consuming you?
Mm. Thanks, Megan. This, I got turned on to this around 2007, and it's positive affirmations, and it sounds really... I mean, you see it nowadays everywhere. You see people making little graphics and memes. I guess they're memes. I don't know. I'm old. But we can tell ourselves negative affirmations all the time. I'm out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lazy. I'm late. I don't have good style. My music sucks. I am a fake.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can retrain that inner dialogue to say, I am awesome. I am whole. I am complete. I am perfect as I am. I am right on time. I have great style. I choose happiness. I choose my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only parents I was given.
Uh-huh.
I choose this body. I choose my penis size. This is the only one I was given. I can't do anything about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, every little thing, I have learned to switch and change to a positive affirmation. And it sounds a little cheesy and cliche at first, and the yoga mat is a great place to do it because you're going to give yourself that hour to practice, or a meditation of sitting for 20 minutes. And sometimes when I'm surfing or just doing something constructive, I just try to challenge myself with, I am whole, I am complete, I am awesome, I am yes, I am fresh, I am here, I am clear, I am now, I am wow, I am in it, I'm going to win it. And it becomes a bit
you
of
know
a
what? You've
positive
got that,
freestyle.
You've got fluency, right? You've got that gift, like, it just comes. Like, I want to ask you something real quick. Is that because you've practiced your affirmations a lot, or is that because you're a born freestyler? Like,
it's a little of both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
like
just,
I said,
you just gave me a list of 11 affirmations in a row.
Totally.
That would have taken me an hour.
No, no.
I am.
And it
okay.
was rap.
Yeah, and it had rhythm. Like, it was music.
But I practice that.
That's because of practice.
It is because of practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that has given me more peace than going to yoga class going, oh my God, I look terrible. I am lazy. I am fat. I shouldn't be here. So I have made the conscious choice to take control of my inner dialogue. And it's a practice of what do you call it? Positive articulation, maybe. Treating myself better.
But it's a practice. It's like, I think for me, it took me a long time to understand. Why aren't I better yet? Why aren't I good enough? It's building that habit of practice. Like you're going to show up every day. It's like undoing your negative habits of your addictions and your destructive behaviors, which are also, you're practicing them every day. So you have to put the discipline in, just like
learning
an instrument or playing the piano or
drawing pictures.
You got to do your practice.
Yeah, you get better at it.
So guys, let's do this together. Like we're kind of running out of time, so I'm gonna summarize in a sec. But I feel like before we do that, what if we all had a little practice right now? Okay, so Jason, you flow with this stuff. Like, how can we just do? If you gave me like, if you give these all of us together, we could take a breath together for like 10 seconds, or have some kind of meditation, or just some kind of moment collectively. We are listening, and we're all just gonna have a moment. If you feel shit, you feel shit. We still love you. If you feel good, even better. But we're just going to be us, just for 10 seconds.
Great. Might be more than 10 seconds. Let's all take a deep breath together. There's a, I'm going to do a little exercise, if I may.
Please.
And this is courtesy of my good friends at Cafe Gratitude in California. Some of my great teachers and people who, a community who inspires me. And there is a series of questions that are asked before one begins a shift at Cafe Gratitude. And the whole purpose of it is to allow someone at work, a colleague, a partner, to, or spouse, a friend, allow them to be seen and be heard and be validated that they're here, so we don't feel like nobody cares. And that way, once we are seen and heard, we realize we can be our best and truest selves. And it begins by asking, it's three simple little questions. Two questions and an acknowledgement. First question is a shadow question. And you can do this with yourself, you can do this with a friend, you can do this with a family member. And the shadow question would be trying to highlight something that's dark. And believe me, there's always something there. Like, what's stopping you from being fully present today? Or here's another example, and I'll ask you, Shlomo. What are you creating that's missing in your life? So we'll go through the question, and this is, and you can even do this at home. What are you creating?
What are you creating
that's missing in your life? What are you making up that is missing in your life?
You mean like, what am I perceiving as missing?
Sure.
So many things. Like, for me, I always have this argument with myself about success. So, you know, I'm always trying to create success, when really, it's already here. I'm here. I don't need any of that perception, right?
Okay. So what I hear you say is that it's so many things, but that you always have this perception or story about success, that it's not there, but really, you know, it's always there. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what does it feel like when your attention is on that?
On that thing that's missing. Yeah. Not nice.
It's not nice.
Not good.
Not good.
Not okay.
So let's just sit with that for a second. Now, what do you love about your life?
so many things. That's brilliant. Yeah, dude, I love so much about my life. I can't tell you how much, just right now, I'm sitting here with you talking real. Like, this whole thing was just an idea, like, a few days ago, and now it's real. Like, how magical that you can do that.
Yeah.
I could go on. I have amazing family. I have amazing people around me. I have my music. I have you people watching right now. This person over here. Like, there's just so much. That could be another 1 hour conversation.
Mm. That's great. Well, this has been a 1 hour conversation. And Shlomo, I would like to acknowledge you for using your success to inspire others and make it our success as well. Like, you're about to put your first single out, but you're bringing all of us on that journey with you. And that is an incredibly beautiful and noble thing to do. I see you've always been this very colorful light. Your sounds have colors to them, and gosh, I don't know how to describe it. You just radiate so much love in this world. So thank you for being love.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, man. I really do.
So that
was the question.
That's clearing. So basically, a shadow question, and all I did, I didn't try to fix anything.
Mm-mm.
All I did was repeat back to you what you said to me.
Yeah, right. You literally did.
And let you just sit with it. And we just both sat in that discomfort or that pain,
so that,
shadow.
Yeah.
And then I asked you a question that brought you more towards the light.
The light.
Like, what do you love about your life?
Dude, I had a rush of pleasure when you asked me that question.
How about that, right?
That's
we get
so
to
nice.
Fill our hearts. We get to flood light onto that shadow. We don't make that shadow go away, but we just acknowledge that there is suffering in our life. We shine a light on it, and then I back that up with an acknowledgement of what I truly see in you.
Beautiful.
So that it anchors that light, so then you can really enjoy that light all day. And you don't have to wait for a clearing to happen. You can ask for it. Like, sometimes in my own relationship at home, I'll say, babe, I need to be acknowledged right now. I need to be uplifted. Like, ask. You can ask for that help.
You can ask.
So if you want to learn more about that, there's a great book called Kindred Spirit. And it's by Matthew and Terese Engelhardt. They're the founders of Cafe Gratitude. They're some of my best friends and teachers.
Uh-huh.
And they do this with all of their employees before they start their shift. And it does take a lot of time.
Right.
But it allows that employee to say, yeah, you know what? My roommate is not paying his bills and life sucks at home.
Yeah.
But then, oh, you know what? I can still be present today and work at this job and feel heard and feel loved. And that's all we as human beings can truly ask for, and I think we all have a right to ask for that.
That's so beautiful.
So that, like, we can be heard and not feel so alone and feel so scared and feel like...
But also, it's like that they're filling up their employees' petrol tanks
totally
at the beginning of the day
with
a bunch
love.
Of love.
Yeah,
that
totally.
They can then disperse and,
yeah.
And magnify. Like, the more you give, the more you get, right?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's
Jason Raz, like... I can't believe this is happening.
Thanks.
So
I wish
lovely.
We could get to all of these beautiful...
Yeah, there are so many on here. Guys, it's been absolutely beautiful for you guys to share and talk and ask. Lots of people asking if Jason can be their yoga instructor. Just a great thing.
I would love to be a yoga instructor. And that's probably not too far in the future.
Oh, really? It's coming, guys.
It is.
Jasonsyoga.com. Register that shit. Guys... I am going to have to wrap this up. It's been absolutely beautiful to share this evening with you. Thank you so much for watching. So if you want to kind of carry on being part of this journey, you totally can. We Are Listening is just this new thing that has started today, but I feel like it's going to have a little bit of a life. So this video is going to stay up online. You can comment, you can share, you can tag people who you think would benefit and enjoy being part of that journey. And you can come back here next week, because I'm really excited to announce our guest for next week. If you're from the UK, you might know this guy. He's a musician, he's a comedian, he headlines stadiums, all year round, it looks like. Absolute legend, Mr. Bill Bailey, is going to be our guest next week. I'll be your host, he'll be our guest, and hopefully we can talk to him a little bit about his journey with well-being, creativity, mental health, hear his story too, and hopefully share this community. So like, it's been beautiful today to kind of communicate with Jason's Facebook community and my community on my page and on my Instagram live. So really, it's been special, it really has. So please share, like, comment, use the hashtag we are listening, and just go out into the world and do some listening. You don't have to talk, you can listen, it's fine. Talk, listen, share, whatever you want to do.
Talk, listen, share, journal's always a good one.
Write that shit down, share it out there. But guys,
give you a
one more time, can we have a big round of applause for Mr. Jason Mraz? What a superstar.
Thanks, I appreciate
it. Best of luck with your tour that you're doing and your album coming out on the 10th of August. We are going head to head, right? He's got his sixth album coming out. I've got my first single. Obviously, he's going to get crushed. It's going to be sad for him.
Nowadays, it's really not head to head, though. It's like back in the day when you had only 10 bucks, I can only buy one record this month. Yeah.
You can stream his whole album, and then you can stream my single, and then you can stream
You could do
all the other
one song of mine, then his single, and then go back and do a song of mine, and then his single again, and then
it,
do
and
a song of mine.
I've crushed him.
And then,
I've got 12 hits, and you've only got...
I only have 10 songs on my record.
10 hits. Guys, thank you so much for watching. We're going to sign out now. Peace and love to everybody. Please check out jasonmraz.com, skshlomo.com, and please remember the hashtag, we are listening. Like, comment, share, and become part of this community. Thank you again. Peace and love. Goodbye, 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 goodbye.